Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestery. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Feels like it's been more than just 1 week off.
Yes, it does. This past week. It's always that week between Christmas and New Year's that simultaneously feels like 5 minutes have passed and also like 2 months.
Yeah.
It's like, what have we done? Am I allowed to do anything during this week? I don't really know.
I know. I get confused about like working during this week.
Right.
Because I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't be working.
Right.
Because I feel like this is still like a holiday week where we should just relax.
Do nothing. Yeah.
But also like that's not how the rest of the world.
No.
For the most part.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, today being New Year's Day, I got some stuff done, but it was really hard because I wanted to just not.
Right. It's also hard when like Nora comes in and plays like Lego Fortnite.
Right.
In the same room as you working. And she's like, hey, dad, I need your help. Hey, dad.
Right. Yeah. Because I like want to be playing with her. And
right.
So
yeah. It's fun.
It'd be one thing if she was playing a game that like didn't interest me.
Sure. But it's actually fun to play with her.
Yeah. So let's give just a bit of a recap. Christmas was a really fun day.
It was super fun.
Yeah.
We got a cat.
We did. I didn't think I would be a pet owner.
Yeah.
At least not anytime like this soon.
No.
But between Nora and you kind of wore me down.
Yep.
I caved. Yep.
You did. Reluctantly, but you did.
Yep.
And you have to admit it. She's pretty cute.
Well, yeah. Of course, she's a super cute cat.
A great cat.
She's been, she's been really well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made it a lot more enjoyable.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I definitely would have been bummed if we had gotten a really annoying cat. That was like getting into everything, having accidents all over the place. But she has yet to have an accident. Has always used the litter box. Gets wild, but like not anything out of the ordinary. Well, like
not
kitten.
Not in a destructive behavior.
Way. Right.
She's not like really been destructive at all. Mm-mm. She's gotten into a few things.
Right.
Like she tried to climb the Christmas tree. But honestly, I don't think she's even tried that again.
She did.
Oh,
today.
She did.
Yeah, this morning again, you were still in bed, I guess.
I might have been in bed still.
And yeah, she was like a couple branches up because I couldn't find her at first. Oh. And I was like, what's going on? But I kept hearing this like ding, 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 ding in the tree. And I was like, where is she? And then finally I spotted her. She was like really well hidden.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, a fourth of the way up at the tree. I was like, get out of there. What are you doing?
So the cat's been awesome. Highlight of the girl's year.
Oh, yeah. Super sweet response from them because we let them open presents before revealing that they got the kitten.
Right.
And so, you know, there was that moment of disappointment, which was so hard for me not to be like, we did get you a kitten, you know.
I know.
From Nora because she opened a few gifts and she was like, is there no kitten? Like, did we not get a kitten? And I wanted to be like,
I know.
You did.
Yeah. And you basically let her know.
Yeah.
Because I know I felt the same way. Like, it's really hard to toy with her emotions and purposefully disappoint her.
Right.
Only to be like, for the reveal later.
Yeah. I didn't want to lie and be like, oh no, I guess not this year, you know, and then be like, just kidding.
Yeah.
I guess that's allowed with presents, but I don't know. It just felt weird telling her like, oh no, not this year.
And I think probably the most, and I would say shocking, but knowing Nora, I'm not shocked, but just the most probably like amazing thing about it. So we videoed the reveal.
Yeah.
We had the cat. You brought the cat into our room while I was still in the living room with the girls. Like, like you said, we had done all the gifts. Everything else was done. And you were like, oh, girls, you know, I guess Santa made a mistake. There's one more present that he left under the tree in our room.
Yeah.
So I brought them into our room. and we're recording it, and we are both thinking that it's going to be this huge reaction. We're thinking there's going to be tears, screaming, squealing. And she was, she had the most like calm.
Yep. Very response. Level-headed. Yep.
No big reaction, no big emotions.
We were like, wait, did we make a mistake getting this kitten at first?
Right. Because she'd been talking about it every day for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's not an exaggeration.
No, really. Like literally every single
day. All day, every day.
Planning kitten names, what we would do with the cat. All like all the details.
So later in the day, we found out that the reason she didn't have such a big reaction is because she had already premeditated how she would respond in the scenario that we got her a kitten for Christmas. And so she told us that like in bed the night before, she was thinking through like, how would I respond if I get a kitten tomorrow?
Yep.
And she had decided that a big reaction might scare it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so she's like, I wouldn't, if it was a kitten, I wouldn't want to scare her.
Right.
Which is, and so I'm going to remain calm.
So,
and so in the moment, it was kind of a disappointing reaction.
Yeah.
But then you find out after the fact that, like, oh no, you're just so thoughtful and intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. It was so sweet. It was kind of perfect because as soon as she walked in the room, like the kitten stayed quiet the entire time, which I was like, I couldn't believe it, like carrying her up the stairs and everything. I thought for sure she'd be like, meow.
Right.
But she stayed quiet the whole time. And then as soon as Nora walked into our room, she went, meow.
Yeah.
And Nora's face was like, oh,
yeah.
Is that my kitten? Yeah. So definitely a victory of a Christmas.
Yeah. And I know we talked about this on our last episode, but it was a fun way to end the year having our children's book released.
Yeah.
And we've had really good feedback about it.
Yeah. Which has been really just fun. And I think we had maybe mentioned this in the last episode, maybe, but it can be kind of intimidating putting your work out there.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, even if it's as, you know, simple as a kid's book. But
yeah,
it can, you know, people can be mean. So it was kind of like, okay, how are people going to like it?
Right.
You know, and, like, you know, we didn't, it's not like that was, you know, all we were thinking about, because it was just, we're proud of it no matter what. And so we were just excited for it to be out there, but it still is like, oh, I hope everybody likes it too.
Yeah. That's, and I think that's something that can, like, has potential to keep people from like creating,
right?
Just knowing that like whatever it is that you create and release into the world is subject to opinion and criticism and judgment. And
right.
So yeah. Sometimes you just got to do it. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, it's been really encouraging.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who's bought it, and for people who have reviewed it. We've got a good amount of reviews coming in on Amazon.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful.
Super, super helpful.
Yep. So let's talk about 2025.
Okay. Here we come.
New year, new us.
Here we are. New year, new us.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Mm.
New year, new me.
Such a good, good phrase that you love
that
so much.
Drives me crazy when people say new year, new me.
Yeah.
Because it's not a new you.
No.
It's
you might
not.
Have new ideas, but.
You might have new ideas. You might have new intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's got to come a point in our lives where we stop relying on or even being impressed by intentions and start looking for like actual results.
Right. Yeah.
So like if somebody came to me and they were like, in the new year, I'm going to, you know, and this is what, I can't remember if we've talked about this before. This feels familiar, but oftentimes people will like shoot for the moon when it comes to New Year's resolutions.
Oh, for
sure. And they're like, I'm going to eat clean. I'm going to work out 5 times a week.
Yep.
I'm going to start waking up at 5:30 every morning. And they have these like this list of incredible things.
Right.
Each of them would be amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like, I love your intention, but like I'll wait to see the results because I don't believe you. I don't believe that you're going to do any of those things.
If you really actually wanted to do those things, why didn't you start like already? Why haven't you done those things so up until now?
That is, so it's been years now that I kind of came to this realization that I just don't really believe in New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And it's for that very reason, because I think that, I like I said, I think that people have great intentions.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, good for you wanting to better yourself and to better your life. But if you aren't willing to make changes that you think need to be made at the time that you recognize that they need to be made,
mm-hmm.
that's probably not going to change when
right.
the calendar flips over to a new year.
Right. And it might for a little bit.
Yeah, for a little bit. Like, or for some people, there are some exceptional people who can just tell themselves what to do
mm-hmm.
and just do it.
Right.
No matter
Super
what.
Super disciplined.
Yeah.
Like really committed to, if they say they're going to do it, then that means they're really going to do it.
Right.
And they're going to keep doing it.
But that feels more like the exception.
Oh, absolutely. And I am not the exception.
Yeah, neither am I.
No, I think that like there is so much, I think there still is value to even just trying something new. You know, even like we're not saying don't ever make New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Well, don't ever do it.
We'll talk about New Year's revolutions.
Yeah.
That's really what people do.
Right. Like, we're not saying like it's a terrible idea, don't do it. But also like if you want to make a change, just do it when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't stick to it, it's all right. It obviously wasn't like as big of a value for you as you thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the problem that people make is they, it feels weird saying this, but they aim a little too high sometimes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people try to do too much too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're attempting to do, they find out is just unsustainable.
Right.
I don't love the idea of New Year's resolutions, but I love the idea of creating new habits, creating new rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so it's not new year, new you.
Right.
It's new habits, new disciplines, new rhythms, new you.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's broken down into a lot more than just, like you said, the calendar flipping over to the next year. There's a lot more little steps, little details that need to be taken into account and practiced before you can just be like, and now I'm this way. You mm-hmm. know, I was this way yesterday and now today I am not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, like you said, it's not sustainable
mm-hmm.
to completely change like four or five habits all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw, it was an ad for something. I don't remember, but apparently New Year's resolutions end for most people on the second Friday of January. And I guess it's called, I haven't actually looked this up, but in the ad or commercial, whatever it was I saw, they said that day is known as Quitter's Day. And I've never heard
really
that before.
Discouraging.
It is. I've never heard that before. But like that checks out.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, for sure.
Second Friday of January
mm-hmm.
is typically how long people last
yeah.
in their resolutions. And, but like you and I have goals and we have things that we want to do and things that we want to accomplish.
Of course.
But I know myself well enough to know that I'm not going to be in the gym 6 days a week.
Sure.
Like there are a lot of things I want to do, but I know myself well enough to know that I need to take like bite size
mm-hmm.
portions.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And work my way to where I want to be.
Yeah. And I think that's extra, like extra relevant for parents.
Sure.
As well. Even more so of young kids. And maybe it's just because we're living in this season right now with young kids, but like I would love to be able to like sit down in the morning and read for like an hour
mm-hmm.
uninterrupted, like just focus in on reading. But the reality of that happening, unless I wake up at like the crack of dawn, which could be another thing that I put in, you know,
mm-hmm.
another goal of mine, but the reality of that happening is very slim.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a little person will walk downstairs and want to play or want breakfast or something. And so there goes that hour of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, especially as parents, we have to take those, like you said, those bite-sized pieces of our goals and say like, okay, I'm going to focus on doing this like in a small way mm-hmm. and then build upon that smaller goal in order to reach this big,
yeah,
huge goal that I have in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like instead of aiming to read for an hour and like beating myself up for not making that happen in the morning, I'll say like, hey, I'll start with like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that might seem like super trivial and almost pointless, but it's something. And then
yeah.
2 days later, add on another 5 minutes, then add on another 5 minutes. And the same thing with like, if you have a goal of waking up earlier, don't try to wake up 3 hours earlier than you normally do all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Sure, you might have that, like, it almost feels like a beginner's luck type thing that like the first day you wake up, it's like, this is so easy. I can do this. Like 5 a.m. isn't so bad. But then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh no, like,
yeah,
I cannot wake up right now. But yeah, like taking those goals and chopping them up into smaller goals. And instead of waking up 3 hours earlier, wake up like 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
And then continue adding on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I recently read in John Mark Comer's most recent book, Practicing mm-hmm. the Way. He was talking about discipline. And he put it this way. I never heard it said like this. And it makes so much sense. And the context he was talking about was like spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
So praying, fasting, reading scripture, worship,
yeah.
community. He said that if he were to give like a definition of discipline, just like generally speaking, he said discipline is doing what you can currently do through direct effort to become the type of person who is able to do eventually what you cannot yet do as a result of direct effort. So here's what that means.
Okay. Yeah. Break it down for
we'll
us.
We'll use a sports analogy.
Okay.
So let's say I got really into basketball.
Okay.
I've never played basketball. I've never been on a team. I went to basketball camp one time uh-huh. when I was in like middle school.
It went really well, apparently.
Yeah. I was the star. Basketball is one of those things that like, I just don't understand the sport.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I never knew what I was supposed to be doing, where I was supposed to be.
Sure.
I didn't get it. And yeah. It just wasn't for me. Right. So
it's not in the family. When I tried playing, I broke my nose. So.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
It was a big sign to not do it. Anyways,
let's say that I get into basketball and I have this goal that I'd like to be able to shoot 10 3-pointers in a row mm-hmm. and hit 10 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as I am currently, through direct effort, I cannot do that.
Sure.
I don't have the skill or ability to hit 10 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I might make 2 or 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
But that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But what can I do through direct effort right now that will lead me to the place where I could eventually, through direct effort, hit 10 in a row? Right now, through direct effort, I could practice every day.
Mm-hmm.
I could shoot 100 3-pointers a day.
Yeah.
I could, you know, I could do those things. Yeah. I could watch videos on how to shoot properly, like mm-hmm. technique, you know.
Yeah.
Those are little things that I could do through direct effort that would get me to the point that eventually I could, through direct effort, hit 10 in a row.
Yeah.
I'll give one more analogy. So I'm a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things I can do on a drum set, and there's a lot of things I cannot do on a drum set. So let's say I'm like listening to a song and there's like a drum solo and I think, whoa, I love that.
Yeah.
But I think I know that I can't do that right now. It's like who I am currently as a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
If I sit down on a drum set through direct effort, I cannot do, like I can't play that drum solo.
Sure.
But what I can do is I can practice different stick techniques. I can mm-hmm. practice different rudiments. I can, you know, I can slow it down and I could do the drum solo at half speed
mm-hmm.
and then maybe at 3/4 speed. But there are things that I can do. I can discipline myself through direct effort that will lead me to become the type of person that can do the thing that I want to do eventually
yeah.
that I cannot currently do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's just how we need to approach like who it is that we want to become.
Yeah.
Because there are things that like I want to write a New York Times bestselling book.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is one of my goals. That's yeah. something that I'm aiming for. I know that's a really high aim.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is not to do that this year.
Sure.
This year, my goal is for us to release another kid's book.
Mm-hmm.
and probably start writing whatever my next non-kids book will be. Yeah. I'll probably start writing this year. But I know that there are, like right now this year, I'm not the type of person with the skill, with the connections, mm-hmm. with the ability to just write a New York Times bestselling book. Right. But I know that there are things that I can do that will lead me to eventually become the type of person mm-hmm. that can write a New York Times bestselling book.
Yeah. One of those being continuing writing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll write like my goal. So you and I have talked about this. I would love, at least for the next foreseeable future, I would love for us to release one book a mm-hmm. year.
Yeah.
Whether that's a children's book or what, because mm-hmm. we have a few in the bank that we've written
right.
that are kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
And I'd like to release at least one a year. Mm-hmm. I'd like to continue writing non-kids books. And I think our goal is just to get a little better every time.
Yeah. I mean, if you can look back and see like where you started and then see little improvements in every subsequent product or whatever it is that you're doing, if you can see improvement, mm-hmm. that means that you are actually in the middle of practicing that discipline mm-hmm. because you're continuing to grow, whether it's slow growth or quick growth, which most of the time it's a little bit slower than I think probably most of us mm-hmm. would prefer. You know, it would be amazing to become a New York Times bestselling author overnight.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that that's impossible. Mm-hmm. Sure, it could be, you know, I feel like there have been multiple stories of authors who have released their first book and it becomes huge. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, like just the right person picks it up. But that's like a one in a million
yeah.
type situation. So most of the time when you like hear these author stories or athlete stories, mm-hmm. it's this is where I started. And then I did all these little steps every single day, multiple times a day. I remained disciplined, even when it felt like I wasn't really doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like I stayed faithful. Kept doing the things, kept doing the hard work, kept doing the grunt work. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I became an expert level yeah. at this.
Right.
And so it's always just breaking it down into the smaller steps
yeah.
and just remaining faithful to your goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how often people don't start new things because they know that at the point that they start it, they're not going to be where yeah. they eventually want to be.
Yeah.
I think that becomes a really like easy excuse to not do something. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that like I'm not going to be very good at this
right
now.
And nobody likes to not be good at something.
No.
Like it's not fun to be the worst player on the team or to release some kind of like book that is just, you know, terrible, mm-hmm. not a good read. But like everybody starts there unless you're just born with like a miraculous talent, you mm-hmm. know. But that's just how we work as people. We have to get better. We have to practice. We have to be patient with ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really important and actually like really profoundly powerful in letting yourself grow and get better at things publicly. Mm. I think there's something about letting people see you trying something that you're not very good at.
Yeah.
And like pushing through mm-hmm. and working until it becomes something that you are good at.
Yeah.
I think there's something really, really powerful about that.
Mm-hmm. And it is like, it's always really inspiring when you see somebody who like they're very openly, you know, like they speak openly about how they're not like good at whatever it is that they're doing, but mm-hmm. they do it anyways.
Yeah.
And you like see them perform or sing or whatever it is, you know, you see them doing it. It's like, that's like, it's just, it's really inspiring to see somebody do that rather than like just take the stage and be like, I know that I'm amazing at this, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I feel like it's just a really neat thing to see somebody be bold enough to be okay with failing.
Mm-hmm. I'm remembering years ago, I went to a conference at a church and it was the first time I ever heard Sam Chand speak. Mm-hmm. And he's just like a leadership guy. I'd never heard his name. I'll be honest. I hated the whole conference.
Yeah.
Up until the point that he spoke. And it was like, I just couldn't stand any of the speakers.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I wasn't into it.
Yeah.
But he got up and his whole thing, he gave basically like a, I don't even know if the whole thing was on leadership, but he gave an acronym for squirrel. And he went through all the letters in the word squirrel, and he just gave you something to think about. And it was like, I just remember thinking, like, I have to listen to more of this guy.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've gotten multiple of his books. I did his, he had this online leadership course.
Yeah.
And so he's got, he's had some really good things to say. But I don't remember all of the letters in squirrel, what they all meant. But I do know that the I stood for incremental increase. And he talked about how important it is that we learn to value incremental increase.
Sure.
And that we value the little steps that we've taken towards achieving the goal.
Yeah.
And I just think that's something that not everybody does.
Yeah.
I think it's really easy to look at, to be more aware of where you're not, right, than where you, than to celebrate where you actually are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy for, it would be easy for me to think like, cause I, you know, I released my first book last year and I got some really good feedback on it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know anything about marketing or selling. Well, I know more now. I didn't know anything last year.
Yeah.
So I didn't really sell very many copies, and it would be really easy for me to think like, well, maybe this just isn't for me. But when I kind of look over the past year, and I realize if I want to, I can become aware of the ways that I have grown.
Yeah.
And I've like incrementally moved toward my goal.
Yeah.
Of writing a New York Times bestselling book.
Right.
But at the same time, like I said, it could be really easy for me to get discouraged and think like, that's probably just a crazy, crazy thought. Just a crazy dream I had.
Yeah.
And it's probably not really going to happen.
Right.
But yeah, but I can look in, when I look at the ways I've grown over the last year, some new skills I've developed, just new things I've learned about, not just writing, but like how to actually market and sell. And we've learned a lot about social media.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, we've grown a lot of those ways. When I look at the steps I've taken towards that goal, it becomes more realistic again.
Yeah.
I think, oh, I've learned this much in the past year. I wonder what else I can keep learning.
Right.
And how else I can keep like honing these skills.
Yeah. And I feel like you are somebody that like, when you have something in mind, like you typically stick to it. Like when it becomes a value for you, like you go after it. You're not somebody to like be really flippant on your values. Like if it's something that you actually feel is weighty enough to be a value in your life, you really take the steps to like actually make it apparent that that's a value for you or a goal for you.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, if that's what you want, I wouldn't be shocked if it happens for you.
Yeah. And to like, just to be like honest about the things that like we want to do and what we're going after. We're also the type of people who like listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it was never my idea to be like a speaker and a communicator in to any degree. I never ever saw that like while I was growing up, even through college and even, you know, a little bit after, like I never saw that as something. I didn't have a desire, didn't have a vision for it. But like, as we got to know the Lord and as we've allowed the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives and to actually lead and guide us and to place new desires in our hearts, these things have started coming alive. I didn't feel like it was my idea to be an author. Like I'd never wanted to write. But as I like spend time with the Holy Spirit, I realized like, I think you want me to write. Like that's just, it's become this like, this thing that's just really like deep seated.
Yeah.
Just something that I know and I can't explain it, but I just know like, I feel like I'm supposed to write.
Yep.
And so I'm going to give it my best shot.
Yeah. Which is like you said, even a little bit after college, like when we were first married,
No.
That was never, ever a conversation. Like, I think I might want to write books. Yeah.
No.
That would have been super off the wall.
Yeah. I think I'd like to preach. I'd like to speak publicly.
Yeah.
I'd like to, to write books.
Yeah. Which is like so crazy. In like 10 years, we've been married for 10 years, but like, and that's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
But not that much. Like how much we have changed in all the ways from the time that we got married really is wild.
Yeah.
If you want to like look back and think of all the things that like we used to be interested in or we'd used to take time on, think just like all those things are completely, completely different.
Well, I didn't have any vision for my life.
Yeah.
Like until we really got serious about the Lord and, there's that verse in Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what like we were like meant to be doing.
Right.
I didn't really feel called to anything. I felt like, I was just kind of almost like drifting aimlessly through life.
Yeah.
Applying for jobs that I would have hated.
Right.
But as we like got to know the Lord and we discovered who he is, how good he is, how much he loves us, we began delighting in him. Yeah. And as we delighted in him, he began to place these new desires in our heart.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's when the most significant change happened for us.
Yeah. And that's when I feel like your, like those goals, no matter how lofty they seem, they feel so much more attainable when you're doing it with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can use that phrase, like nothing is impossible with God, but like really, it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, as corny as Hobby Lobby-y as it is.
Yeah.
It's real life with him, you know? So like, had you told me like, I want to be like a super well-known, successful author. And we were like, weren't really doing life with the Lord from having no background in writing, like not even a college degree in that arena. I would have been like, okay, babe.
Yeah. Sure.
Like
if I'd said that in our first year of marriage,
right. Like good. Would have been like, luck what? With that one.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Where did that come from? But like, where we are now doing life with him, I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
100% you can, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Yeah. I don't feel like the Lord has promised me specifically that like if I'll give this process to him and if I'll give it my best effort, like I don't feel like he's promised me like you will have a book on the New York Times bestseller.
Sure. Yeah. Not like specifically.
No. But at the same time, I just know that he said like just do it. Just do it and do it as best as you can and just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
With him there's always this like open ended invitation where it's like, I'm not gonna tell you what's gonna happen, but just do it.
Right.
Trust me.
If you know me, you know it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes he asks you to do something and it doesn't lead you to where you think it will.
Right.
Like we have friends who felt like the Lord have asked them to start a business. And so they started the business and it never went as well as they were hoping it would financially. It wasn't very successful. But through that process, the Lord taught them a crazy amount about trusting him.
Yeah.
About like reordering values and priorities.
Yeah.
And they've come out like in some ways like a healthier version of themselves. And so the Lord wasn't saying start a business because I'm going to make you rich. It was start a business. I'm not going to tell you this now, but there's just a lot of like humility and a lot of like reordering of your mind and your values that needs to happen.
Right.
And I'll do that in you through this business.
Yeah.
So sometimes the Lord asks you to do something and it doesn't go. It's always good, no matter what he's asking you to
right.
do. It's always good. And it's always because he has the best, you know, our best interest in mind. But, hopefully this isn't one of those things, but I think we've gotten,
we just end up with like thousands of books in our closet, like our basements, they're just books everywhere, like, never sold. Like, why did we write so many books?
What are you teaching me? Yeah.
How to build a bonfire. I don't know.
But yeah, we're very hopeful.
Yeah.
We're hopeful for this year. We're hopeful for just the foreseeable and unforeseeable future of what the Lord wants to do in and through us and with us.
Mm-hmm.
So here's to 2025.
Cheers.
Raise my mug of water. I don't even have tea in here. It's just water.
Oh, man. Now you know how weird it is that he drinks water from a mug.
Not normally. Only for the podcast. This isn't like my normal water. This looks better aesthetically.
It's an aesthetically pleasing.
It's nicer just going to be holding a mug than one of our mason jars.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. That's kind of trendy.
I don't know.
Used to be, at least.
So, yeah, that's why we don't believe in New Year's resolutions.
Yep.
But we do believe in discipline. We believe in incremental increase. Mm-hmm. We believe in creating small, sustainable habits that you can build upon.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to read, you and I have talked about, like, reading through the Bible this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do it in a month. Ooh. That's not going to happen.
That feels so, like, a lot.
So I started last thing, and then we can end this. But okay. So I was looking at, like, different Bible reading plans. And, like, full disclosure, like, for everybody listening, like, you and I are just not historically, like, read through the Bible in a year people.
No. Yeah. We and read the Bible. We just don't read through the whole Bible in a year.
I'm not. I have a really hard time, I always have, with, like, Bible reading, like, schedules mm-hmm. and plans.
Yeah.
Because, like, and I've tried, but eventually I feel like it just starts to, like, suck the life and the fun out of reading the Bible for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I feel like I'm doing this because I need to be able to tell people that I did it because I can
check that box off and say I read today.
And I find myself, like, reading really quickly through everything mm-hmm. just because I'm trying to get it done and I'm not even, like retaining.
Right.
You know, like, this isn't, like, a revelatory thing.
Yeah,
and so,
it's like homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so historically, I've just had a really hard time with that. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to do it.
Right.
I was, like, reading through different, or I was looking at different, like, Bible reading plans and I was Googling, like, okay, on average, like how long would a person, or how much time would a person have to spend every day
mm-hmm.
to read through the Bible in 3 months?
Okay.
And I saw multiple sources that said, typically, like, the average person can do that by reading about 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, that's so easy.
Yeah.
Right. I can knock that down to a month and a half, you know, at that rate. And so I woke up super early and I was like, okay, 30 minutes is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 minutes in, so you're supposed to read from Genesis 1 to through Genesis 16.
Okay.
And 30 minutes in, I was still in, like, Genesis 3. And I was like, oh no, this isn't going well.
This is not going how I thought.
No. And I think I read for, like, an hour and a half and I got to chapter, like, 13 or 14.
Okay.
And so, again, like, that's not, you know, like, theoretically, I can carve out an hour and a half every morning
mm-hmm.
if that's what it'll take.
Yeah.
But I found myself, like I could probably read to chapter 16 in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think I'd get anything out of that.
Right.
Other than being able to say that I did it.
Right. Like, can you digest any of it? Or is it just one of those things that you get to the end of the reading and you're like, what did I just read?
Yep.
I don't. No, like, I remember Adam and Eve. That's about it.
Yeah. Like, I've read Genesis several times.
Sure. Yeah. And so you'd have that.
So, like, I know the book, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I also know that, like, the Bible is something that can continually be unfolded.
Right.
Like, there's no end to the revelation that we can get mm-hmm. by reading.
Yep.
But that comes by reading, like, with the Holy Spirit, reading mm-hmm. intentionally,
mm-hmm.
reading thoughtfully, and so I just don't think that I'm going to be reading the required daily chapters.
We're not here to graze.
In 30 minutes.
Right. We're not here to graze the Bible in a year. We're here to read the Bible in a year.
So maybe I'll look at, like,
or 3 months or 6 months or whatever you want to do.
So maybe I'll look at doing, like, a 6 month thing or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Chapter 3.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was so disappointing to look at the clock like 3 chapters in.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Okay.
There it is.
There's
your maybe not so typical New Year's podcast of like, get your resolutions in order.
Right.
What are you doing this year? What's your New Year, New Me plan? It's like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't make a New Year's resolution.
So realistically and practically, I think maybe the question we should be asking is like, maybe two questions. Like, what do I want to have accomplished at the end of this year?
Mm-hmm.
And like, is there something about who I am that I want to see changed?
Yeah.
Right. Like what kind of person do I want to be at the end of this year?
Mm-hmm.
I think you start there and you start like, we're not saying don't try new things.
No.
We're just saying, be realistic about what you can maintain
mm-hmm.
and what you will maintain.
Right.
Because again, like I've hit this point in my life where I'm just not impressed by intentions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You come to me and you say, hey, I'm going to work out 6 days a week mm-hmm. this year, every week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat clean for the whole year.
Yeah.
I'll say, all right, we'll see.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let your results, you know, speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying don't do anything new. Don't try anything. But just be realistic about what type of new habits and mm-hmm. routines and rhythms you can maintain.
Right.
And allow yourself to incrementally work towards becoming the type of person that can do the things that you want to be able to do but can't yet do.
Mm-hmm. And like practically, like, sure, make those goals, have those things, write them down, and then take each goal and break that down into smaller goals.
Yeah.
And then attack each small step one at a time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's going to, you know, theoretically take longer, mm-hmm. but
you'll have a higher chance of success.
Actually, right. You're actually probably going to get more results.
Yeah.
Even though it'll take longer than what you may hope. Like you might not get ripped in 30 days,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to last longer if you actually take time to let your body like really mm-hmm. do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Good.
Good.
Let's go to bed.
Okay.
We just stopped doing this so late at night.
We do. We get towards the end of the podcast. And it's like, well, okay.
I know. I'm like, okay, my brain is going blank. All right. So that's going to be it for this episode. Want to wish everybody a happy new year. And once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. See you next time.